Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime. All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
How may I help you, my brother?
Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could. Damn it, man, I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore.
Yes, Whitey is something else.
We are on the road and we are ready to go. That's right. Right
now. We're an hour behind.
Yeah, we're an hour behind. We are literally on the road, just pulled out of the Wawa gas station. Mitt Romney's been to a Wawa just recently. It's Reese on the Radio right here live on BlogTalkRadio.com on our way to the I-95. That's right. Riding dirty. Yeah, I know we're not riding dirty. So we... scenery, little picture for you while you're riding this all the way to New York, or at least 2 hours of the trip. Where are we going to end up in 2 hours?
Hey, it looks like we've already lost connection here, right here, Reese on the Radio. We are again, this is Reese on the Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Reese is on the road, trying to do a show from the road, I-95 North, of course. We seem to have lost him, or lost his connection anyways, but he'll be back in a minute. But let me see what we got on tap for today's show. I'm not sure exactly what it is that we got on tap, but... wow.
No, don't worry about it. I'm back, damn it.
Oh, you're back? Damn it. Okay, good.
Hey, nobody. Listen, JC, just cover for me. You got to understand, we're on the road. So you're going to lose signal.
Without question. Without question.
So we're not like, we're not like Verizon or, AT&T. I don't know. Who does have the best cell phone service? Please, somebody let me know.
Verizon, because they own the most power.
Do they? Okay, well, anyway.
Everybody rents their power.
Okay, I didn't know that. But anyway, it's Reese on the Radio. We are on the road. We're going to try not to, to lose our signal anymore. Is this I-95 we're approaching right now? We are pulling up on I-95 right here live. The number is 347-308-8701. As I was saying before I got cut off, Mary is driving. I have my seatbelt strapped. I broke my glasses today, so I will not be able to see how insane this woman will drive today. So therefore, I'm only blinded. But it is a good thing that I cannot see because I will not have to be harassed or, in any particular reason, scared to death while she is driving on the road. Now, I don't know about the rest of you folks, but trust me, I've driven with Mary, and Mary does one thing.
I'm trying to make people think that I'm a bad driver.
I'm not trying to suggest that you're a bad driver. I just said you have a couple of habits, as we discussed last night. And your big habit is that you tailgate a bit, and you call it pushing. Most of us call it, tailgating or breaking the law.
Have you ever seen the back of a truck that says don't push?
Or don't tailgate?
No, it says don't push. It doesn't say don't tailgate. It says don't push.
Well, I'm not talking about a truck. I'm saying you've heard the term don't tailgate.
Yes, but nobody uses that. It's don't push. I'm pushing you. I'm pushing you out of the way. Move, bitch. Get out the way.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Now, I'm sure everyone is expecting me to respond today to the Supreme Court ruling. That tragic ruling today. Are you going to have that window open?
Yes, I am.
Okay, whatever. People need to hear thank you, this beautiful voice that they tune in to Reese on the Radio to listen to. Anyway, so let's talk about the Supreme Court, shall we?
Is talking on the phone dangerous while driving?
Well, not when you're driving.
Your talking is distracting.
How could it possibly distract you?
Because I want to be engaged. And then I can't engage in driving.
But the best part is that you get to talk hold the phone. That's the best part.
Okay, great.
All right, that's the best part. So, anyway, as I was saying, before I was interrupted, so the Supreme Court ruling comes down. And I don't know whether or not you know, but most of us know that John Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, sided with the liberals. Now, what I find incredibly odd about him siding with the liberals is this. Now, think about this, folks, because no one seems to be talking about this. Chief Justice John Roberts was appointed by none other than George W. Bush. And he wrote Obamacare into law. He was the one who signed it into law. And the most amazing part about his signing, about his opinion on this law, is that here it was Barack Obama saying that he's not taxing the American people with Obamacare. It's not a tax. It's not a tax. It's not a tax. It's not a tax. That's all he said. Selling it to the American people, people have, isn't this a tax? This sounds like a tax. And the reason why they were saying it was a tax was simple and plain. You have to buy health care. If you don't buy it, you're going to be fined. You have to buy it or you're going to be fined. In fact, one of the questions that was asked during the Supreme Court hearing was, let's say a woman goes to a job and she signs an application and she is not paid the penalty on Obamacare. She's refused to pay for it, and so she failed to pay the penalty. So one of the justices, I'm almost certain it was Elizabeth Kagan, or Elena Kagan, I should say, but it may have been Sotomayor. But nonetheless, the question was, if they ask her a question on her application, have you ever committed a federal crime? Having not paid for Obamacare, your Obamacare, you know, health insurance, or, you know, paid the penalty, would she be lying if she said she never broke a federal crime if she didn't pay it? And he said, no, you wouldn't be paying it. And then he let the cat out of the bag. He started calling it a tax. He said, no, they would pay the penalty. I mean, no, they would pay the tax. So he kept repeating it, the tax, kept repeating it, the tax. Another justice comes in and says, didn't you just say it was a penalty? He goes, well, that's what I mean. I mean, penalty tax. So they let the cat out of the bag then, too. But it was indeed a tax. So here's the most amazing part about John Roberts' ruling with the liberals, is that Obamacare went into the Supreme Court under the idea that the mandate was constitutional, and it should be constitutional. John Roberts writes this piece that pretty much says, you know what, Obama? I cannot rule a mandate constitutional, but I'm going to do you a favor. I'm just going to change the wording for you, Obama. I'm going to change the word to a tax now, because you have the constitutional right to tax your citizens. Congress has the right. This is passed by Congress. So we're changing the word for you. We can't mandate people to buy health insurance. But since you're taxing them, we'll call the mandate a tax. That's all it is. And that's what happened. And so a guy who pretty much said that he wasn't and could not, under the Constitution, tax the American people, wasn't going to do it, argued about it, is now taxing the American people. The biggest tax in American history, a $500 billion tax on the American people. Now, J.C., play the George Stephanopoulos piece. In 2010, I believe it was, when they were making the argument about Obamacare, and George Stephanopoulos is trying to explain to the constitutional scholar that this is indeed a tax, even whips out Webster's
probably dictionary. Probably the most definitive promise you made in the campaign is that no one in the middle. Probably the most definitive promise you made in the campaign is that no one in the middle class would get a tax increase on your watch. Yet this week, Senator Rockefeller, several other Democrats say that this bill by Senator Baucus is a big middle class tax increase. Do you agree? And does that mean you can't sign it?
Well, I don't agree. I think that what they were referring to, and I haven't looked at the quotes, but I think they were concerned about whether or not this was actually affordable. If you're saying to people you got to get health insurance, but they can't actually afford it, and they have to pay a penalty if they don't get it, then that's a pretty big burden on middle-class families. That's a concern I share, making sure that this is affordable. But the first thing we got to understand is you've got what is effectively a tax increase taking place on American families right now. The Kaiser Family Foundation report just came out last week. Healthcare premiums went up 5.5% last year at a time when the rest of the economy, inflation was actually negative. So that is a huge bite out of people's pockets. And part of what I've been trying to say throughout this campaign, effort to get healthcare done, is that if we don't do anything, guaranteed, Americans' costs are going to go up, more people are going to lose healthcare coverage, the insurance companies are going to continue to prevent people from getting it for pre-existing conditions. Those are all burdens on people who have health insurance right now.
That is true.
And so, just to close the loop on this, the principles I've put forward very clearly when I spoke to the joint session of Congress is that we're going to make sure that, number one, if you don't have health insurance, you're going to be able to get affordable health insurance. Number two, if you have health insurance, we're going to have insurance reforms that give you more security. You know what you're going to get. You know that if you're paying your premiums, you're actually going to have coverage when you get sick. Number three, it's going to be deficit neutral. It's not going to add a dime to the deficit now or in the future. Number four, it's going to start driving down our costs over the long term. Now, 80% of what I'd like to see is actually already in all the various bills that are in Congress. That last 20% is tough because we've got to figure out making sure that we're paying for it properly, making sure that it really is relief to families who don't have health insurance, making sure that all the various details that are out there line up. And that's going to take some time, but I think that the effort by the Senate Finance Committee is a serious, strong effort to move an agenda forward. We've seen some positive signs from people who might have been otherwise a little bit shaky on health care, including Republican Olympia Snowe, I think, had some
hasn't nice signed on yet.
Hasn't signed on, but has said that this is a legitimate effort to try to solve the problem. What I want to see is that we just keep on working on it over the next several weeks.
How about a matter of first principles, though? You mentioned these premium increases, but they're not happening as a result of a decision by the government.
Right.
You were against the individual mandate
during
the campaign. Under this mandate, the government is forcing people to spend money, fining you if you don't. How is that not a tax?
Well, hold on a second, George. Here's what's happening. You and I are both paying $900 on average, our families, in higher premiums because of uncompensated care. Now, what I've said is that if you can't afford health insurance, you certainly shouldn't be punished for that. That's just piling on. If, on the other hand, we're given tax credits, we've set up an exchange, you are now part of a big pool, we've driven down the costs, we've done everything we can, and you actually can afford health insurance, but you just decided, you know what, I want to take my chances. And then you get hit by a bus, and you and I have to pay for the emergency
room. That may be, but it's still a tax increase.
That's not true, George. For us to say that you've got to take a responsibility to get health insurance is absolutely not a tax increase. What it's saying is that we're not going to have other people carrying your burdens for you any more than the fact that right now everybody in America just about has to get auto insurance. Nobody considers that a tax increase. People say to themselves, that is a fair way to make sure that if you hit my car, that I'm not covering all the costs.
But it may be fair. It may be good public policy.
No, but George, you can't just make up that language and decide that that's called a tax increase. Any more, if I say that right now your premiums are going to be going up by 5 or 8 or 10% next year, and you say, well, that's not a tax increase. But on the other hand, if I say that I don't want to have to pay for you not carrying coverage even after I give you tax credits that make it affordable, then
I don't think I'm making it up. Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Tax, a charge usually of money imposed by authority on persons or property for public purposes.
George, the fact that you looked up Merriam's dictionary, the definition of tax increase, indicates to me that you're stretching a little bit right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gone to the dictionary to check on the definition.
Well, no.
I mean, what you're saying is...
I wanted to check for myself, but your critics say it is a tax increase.
My critics say everything's a tax increase. My critics say that I'm taking over every sector of the economy. You know that. Look, we can have a legitimate debate about whether or not we're going to have an individual mandate or not. But
you rejected it.
I absolutely reject that notion.
All right, that's it. That's it. That's it.
But I'm not a crook.
Okay. That's the whole piece. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, let me explain to everyone this. If you don't get health insurance, you will be fined the first year, tax or fine, whatever you want to call it. It's a fine. It's, you're being fined.
Oh, it's a tax.
You're being fined.
Okay.
If you don't get it within the first year it'll cost you less than $100. Your tax or your fine
will cost
you less than $100.
Was it like $80, right?
The second year, if you don't have it by the second year, guess how much you'll be paying?
How much?
Over triple that.
So you're saying you're talking close to $300?
Over $300, okay?
Now, wait. So my question to you is, even though they're going to be paying over $300, how often will you be paying until you...
I don't know what it is for the third and the fourth and the years going forward.
Oh, okay.
I don't know exactly what it is.
Right.
However, it's probably set up the same exact way that it's set up for doctor's offices. If you don't transfer all of your records to EMRs, which is electronic medical records, as of 2013, I want to say it is, the government is going to fine you. If you take Medicare, they're going to take like 1%, I believe is the number, of your Medicare earnings for the entire year. Moving forward, that will increase to 5% in the first 3 years, like the third year or something. And then after the third year, the Attorney General has the right to go back, revisit it, and either raise it to more than 5%, leave it at 5%, or lower it. But they're still being fined. So we the citizens are being fined. Doctors as citizens and business owners are going to be fined in some way, shape, or form. It's a bunch of crap.
Oh, that goes without saying. But the bottom line is that Obama...
And what is affordable health care? Can anybody tell me what it's going to cost?
Here's what he's saying is affordable health care.
What's the minimum... What are the income requirements to be able to get this affordable health care if you can't afford it on the salary that you're making?
That's very true. See, the bottom line is that you are going to have to be carrying health care. You have to be a card-carrying you have to be a card-carrying person with health care, okay? Like you would auto insurance. Now you have health insurance. You have to pay for it, right? You definitely have to purchase.
Wait, can I say one thing?
Sure, go ahead.
So Obama says that was George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, George Stephanopoulos.
Okay. So Obama says to him, what happens if you go out and you get hit by a bus?
Right.
Then you and I have to cover that. Well, who the hell do you think is covering the health care for people that need affordable health care? Where is the rest of that money being
paid? Well, that's the interesting part. Here's what it is.
We're paying for it anyway.
Right. The bottom line is that what he's going to do is everyone who gets a paycheck has to have health care. If you don't get it, you still have to pay a tax on it. But the reason why we're making sure that you pay in with a job is to make sure those people out there who do not have a job, people on welfare, people on food stamps, people who do not have an income coming in, if those people have to go to the hospital, your money is now funding that cost. So in his argument is this is to ensure that people like George Stephanopoulos or Barack Obama, their premiums don't go up, because their premiums always go up because of poor people who were in hospitals and not paying their health care bills. So he believes that it's health care reform to get everybody on the dole, everybody on the program, and we're going to guarantee that everybody has it. We'll take that money and we'll throw it in there. And every business person has said, for the entire day today, every business person has said the same thing, is that if we can't afford, because now this is an extra expense, whether you like it or not, I either have to give every one of my employees health care, everyone, or I have to pay a tax have to pay a fee or fine, whatever it is. I still have to pay that for every year I don't give it to them. And in order for me to make up that cost, I'm going to have to fire people. Because now it's another expense on your job, I mean, on your company.
There's going to be more people out of work because the affordable health care is not going to be so damn affordable to most people.
That's right.
So more people are just saying, screw it, I can't afford the health care. I'm not making enough money. The government is telling me I'm making enough money. You have to get health care through my job. Yet I am not saying, but I don't feel like I am making enough money to get that health care. So then I'm just going to quit and I'm not going to work because I can't afford the health care. So then I can just sit and get on the dole, collect food stamps, not have a job, and have health insurance, all on the taxpayer's money.
You're absolutely right.
Regardless of how anybody looks at it, it is still the same bunch of crap that is going on now. More people are going to be on welfare. More people are going to be unemployed. More people are going to be sour.
Imagine this, if you will, Mary. Imagine this, if you will. Try this on for size. You're not a great worker. You've worked plenty of jobs, right? And you know who they are. Usually younger people, they kind of get ticked off and agitated rather quickly. They got a job. It's not a great job. Probably not a lot of advancement at that job. And you have those moments. I've had them. You just get ticked off at the boss. You know, take this job and shove it. Imagine the attitude of somebody who knows, wow, you know, the government will give me food stamps. The government will make sure that I'm taken care of with my health care. They will pay my rent with Section 8 if I, you know, pretty much plead, you know, desolate. This, I mean, I'll have every one of my basic needs cared for, and I'll sit at home and don't have to deal with this crap.
Exactly, because right now, at this menial job that these people are, you know,
sure,
some of these people are in, they'd be better off sitting at home.
Of course, if they don't feel like they've got, you know, they don't have the gonads to actually do something better for themselves, you have this extremely widening safety net that the president and his cronies have now created and implemented. And thanks to the help of Chief Justice John Roberts, I'm absolutely amazed at, because he's a Bush appointee. I'm just stunned that this would happen. Go ahead.
And the other thing is, oh God, I lost my whole train of thought.
That's okay. It's all right. It's all right. We'll come back to it. We're live on iNet.
Okay,
I'll say, what's the point?
So, now, if
folks, we're live on 95. We're on the radio. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why are you bugging?
James, you're on the air.
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We're back. We are live on I-95. It is now 31 minutes after the hour. We're actually listening to the show on the car stereo. Don't be shocked on how we do that, but we're actually listening to it like it's, you know, we can hear
that. It's hooked up to the speakers in the car.
All right, don't try to, you know, you have to keep selling the dream. Shoot on, it's a fantasy that they're living when they're living on the radio. You know, you got to keep the dream.
On the radio.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Radio. Please, don't say it, please.
Oh, please don't say it. On the radio.
Okay, anyway. Rest in peace, Donna Summer. Even I don't really say that. Anyway, excuse me. So Barack Obama got his ever-loving health care. He got Obamacare. It's been passed. And the bums rejoice. Oh, and they are happy, trust me. The bums rejoice. They're out there screaming and hollering in the streets. Obamacare, that's right. Obamacare, that's right. I got my health insurance, it's good. I asked everybody on my job today, very typical Negroes, I asked them, who here thinks that because Obamacare passed, it means that you get free health care? Every Negro raised their hand. Every one of them did. So I looked them right in their face and I said, with a job? And they go, wow, what are you talking about? You have a job. If you have a job, you have to pay for health care. But I thought it was for free health care. Who do you think is for? How is it free? It's called the Affordable Care Act. It's not called the Free Care Act. It's called free. Really, when's it ever been called the Free Care Act? It's called the Affordable Care Act. And the Supreme Court today said that you have to pay for something you weren't paying for before. Yeah, but it's good for everybody to have health care. Really? It's good for everybody to have health care? Well, what about healthy people? Well, you know, what if they break a leg? And they got to go to the hospital? And? Well, the doctor got to take care of? And? But you know, they get charged for that? And? So should it be something that's over? What do you mean, shouldn't it be? He broke his leg.
I'm not going to hear anything.
But you're not going to. I'm the only one talking.
Oh, I thought JC was talking.
No, he's not talking. I'm talking myself. The bottom line is that it's not free. And if you don't believe me, ask every one of your friends. Every one of these people who want Obamacare, ask every one of these fool-ass Negroes when you find them. They'll be someplace. You'll probably catch them at a club called Jamaica Me Crazy. Okay, too. Whatever those places are. You'll see them. Check them out. And just ask them, is Obamacare free health care? And they'll go, yeah, ain't it? And that's what they think it is.
Well, it's because it's free for the people that ain't got no job.
But that's why you tell them, you have a job. Yeah, I got a job. You make good money? Yeah. Now you have to buy health care. Do you have health care now? No, but now you have to buy it. Well, what happens if I don't buy it? Well, you get fined. You continue to get fined. And if you don't pay it, the IRS will come to you and send your ass to jail. Because now, that's the most important part about all of this, Mary, is that 15,000 new IRS workers, 15,000 new IRS workers, now they're going to be in charge of finding out who isn't paying their health care. And if you're delinquent, you're going to fight the most notorious, most ruthless government entity ever. And that is the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service.
Let people start getting arrested and things start happening to people because they ain't paying some damn health care tax. But these jokers in Hollywood you know, the tax evading or else and can afford to pay the taxes.
Oh, yeah.
And ain't nothing happening to them.
Yeah. Imagine if Wesley Snipes had gone to jail because he didn't pay his health care.
And we're talking about the same branch of the government that can go into your account, take your money out, and then don't have to tell you what it's for until after the fact.
That's exactly.
And you know what? That's another thing. People are going to stop because now they can regulate how they know how much money you got in your account. They know all of this. Then people are going to start pulling their money out and just being like, forget it. We don't need to earn any.
Any interest on our bank or in our bank account?
Because it ain't worth it.
Oh, it's not. It's going to be anarchy. And the worst part about this is that kids. Here's the most amazing part, JC. This is the part that makes me laugh. Like it makes me laugh like crazy. You've got an election coming up in less than 140 days. Okay, we're talking 140 days. It's less than 6 months, man. Less than 6 months. And you just signed a bill into law that over 2/3 of the country hates. How can you be reelected on the
whole voted for the damn thing?
Well, they did it overnight on Christmas Eve, and they did parliamentary style.
How can the government mandate something on the people that the government is working for? Why can we know? The Supreme Court shouldn't be voting to see to uphold this. The American people should.
Look, again, they voted for it. Every Democrat who voted for it knows that their job is up for grabs. Everyone who stood by and cheered this on, their job is up for grabs. They cannot be voted back in. They have to lose. Every one of them have to be thrown out. 2/3 of the American people, 2/3 of the American people hate this bill. They don't want a mandate, and they damn sure don't want to be taxed again. And they know they're going to do it. And trust me, whether you believe it or not, Mitt Romney's looking a lot more attractive to these people who haven't really decided on who it is they're going to vote for. They're not going to vote for this guy. They're not going to vote for Obama behind this. And they can't. They'd be ridiculous if they did. $500 billion in new taxes, and it's against everyone who can, quote unquote, have a job. And you know, collects a paycheck. This is an added cost, and you better have the health care. Going to a hospital without it and not have it, there can be some problems. Government's going to say you're stealing from them. And don't discount the other stuff, because when we come back in a couple of minutes, the part that makes me laugh the most is how some of these Negroes don't even get the fact that there's going to be, I mean, there's really going to be a bureaucratic death panel for the elderly, for the people who are really, really sick. Because, you know, you can have, people are talking about, oh, what about these kids who have to pay for very, very expensive drugs? Well, the government is now going to decide on whether or not your kid needs the expensive drugs. And if they can find a way around it, they will get your kid the generic ones. Because it's going to be a government bureaucracy. They'll be asking questions like, okay, well, yes, we understand that this drug is costing us about $6,000 a year. Is there a generic version that's out there? Well, she really doesn't respond well to it. This particular drug really makes her feel a lot better. Well, that, you know, that's great that, you know, she feels better, but the drug does its job, right? Well, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, but you have to understand that this, you know, this is on the government, you know, dole. We're dishing out the money. So here, take the generic one, and, you know, we'll pat little Susie on that. Don't sweat it. And you think I'm getting, if you think I'm getting, just listen to anybody who'll tell you in the health insurance department. Listen to anybody who'll tell you. Anybody who'll talk to you. There will be rationing. Your all in on it. And the government is not going to make sure that you have everything that you're supposed to have. They are going to ration it because you're no longer in control. It's sad, but you Negroes should have known better. You all should have known better. But I can't wait to see how some of these people, especially how some people in NAACP and some of the Urban League, I'm surprised I haven't heard about Al Sharpton. He was too busy on the Eric Holder thing to really care, but I'd love to hear what he has to say. I know Barack Obama went there. Now, he probably went and told every one of them, hey, listen, you guys shut your mouth about Obamacare. Because even though I won in the Supreme Court, everybody hates this. And we really, really need people to just move on. That's why he already said it in his press conference. We need everybody to start moving forward. Let's get this ugly event behind us. I know I created a law that 2/3 of you hated, couldn't stand. I get it. I understand. It's all right. I was thinking about the other third. You know, because, you know, they are poor and don't have anything. You know, this isn't a democracy, you know. This is this is tyranny at its best. I make the rules. Y'all niggas should have known that. Oh, you all should have known. But you didn't care. Oh, JC, go to a break. I ain't coming back. I got to talk about this great story about health care. Just go to a bumper. We are live. We are on the I-95. Oh, that's perfect music for this. It's Rezone Radio live on I-95 right here on Blog Talk Radio. Stick around.
To do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb dogs,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, a strange family of inbred weirdos.
She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin stripped in New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats,
Mar decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
all decent folks can agree, the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Reese on the radio, we're back, and we're live on I-95. Mary's not in the greatest of moods right now. The people on I-95 are driving her up the wall.
I mean, we're going, I'm not even going 55. These morons cannot drive. I can't believe it.
She hates.
So it's 45 on in a lane, in a zone that should be 65.
She's completely, I've asked her a couple of times to just relax. You know, I being a person who does not like to drive at night, you know, some people are afraid to drive, afraid to drive at night.
Then they shouldn't drive at
but
night.
But some people have to drive.
You hire a driver.
And normally.
Take that train. Get on a bus.
Anyway,
get off the road.
I was suggesting perhaps some compassion for these people, and Mary has refused.
No, because they're going to make other people get into accidents and going to kill them.
Well, I don't think that, well, I don't know. I don't believe that slow drivers are the reasons for.
Well, okay, when you have 95% of the people on the road doing at a minimum the speed limit, and then you roll up going 55 to 65 miles an hour, you roll up on somebody that's only going 40, and you got to hit your brakes, and then everybody behind you has to hit their brakes, it's a lot easier to stop if you're going 40 than it is to stop when you're going 55 or 65 behind some idiot going 40 on 95.
JC, did you want to say something?
They're allowed to go to minimum. There is a minimum on the highway, though.
The minimum is 55.
No, 55 is the highest. 55 is probably the highest, but if you look, there are signs that tell you the slowest that you can go.
There is no sign. It just says.
Sorry. Say again. There is no what? Say, I can drop by accident.
Okay. There is no minimum speed limit posted. We're not a country.
What?
There's no minimum speed limit posted. It says speed limit 55. Not maximum.
I know in Connecticut.
Minimum 40.
Yeah, that's how it is in Connecticut.
Yeah, well.
No, it's in Alabama too, but we're not in the country.
Well, Connecticut's not country either, but you know what? I'd be right there at 39.
I have to admit, I mean, only reason why I'm nervous is because, not because of her driving, is that she is slightly expressing anger towards me. She's apologized. She's got to rip me a little bit. But she immediately apologized. She said she was very sorry because she didn't want to take her frustrations out on me. But these people, like this, watching Mary in this setting where she gets agitated, is a sight to see. In fact, what I'm going to talk about that story that I was going to say, but this is very important to bring up because I was thinking about this today. The first thing that ran through my mind is I never, ever like driving with Mary. Mary wants to drive to the store. I'm not with it. Mary will tell me something like, you know, hey, you want to take a ride with me to Walmart? Not interested. What she does not know is that literally the reason why I never ever want to take a ride with her anywhere is because I cannot deal with her frustration with people who are driving. Because she will curse them out like a sailor. And when I say curse them out like a sailor, she says things that I have to go, that's not very ladylike. And I mean, hey, mouth. Potty mouth, potty mouth.
How long are you guys going to be up in the north?
How long are we going to be what?
In the north.
Oh, 2 days at tops. We're going to do Friday, maybe Saturday. I have no intention of staying in New York City. I hate that town.
And I love it.
Why do you love it?
Because it's my home. That's where, but that's my roots are there. What are you talking about?
Who do you know lives there anymore, other than your aunt?
I still have friends. I have my best friend, Kelly, lives there, that I've been friends with since second grade. She lives on Long Island. Angel lives there, my other best friend that I've been friends with since I was 16.
I named your aunt and your uncle. Who else lives there?
My friends.
So another family.
No.
You use the word roots.
Well, because my friends really are my roots. They always have been. You can ask my family that, they'll tell you the same thing.
Oh.
The fast lane. Now we're in the fast lane and I'm not even doing 62 miles an hour. Why? Because this idiot in front of me is not going more than 62 miles an hour.
Are you done yet?
Well, on one of these trips up here.
Go ahead, JC. No, I'm sorry.
On one of these trips up here, you guys got to come up here.
Yeah. Do you want me to take the first 4-hour trip to New York and then take another 2.5 all the way up to 100?
You're not 2.5. You're like an hour 45.
No, bull crap. Dude, I took that trip enough times to know. Remember, I still have friends up there, too. You know, I've taken that trip plenty of times. It's always 2 hours.
It's not 2.5.
Okay, maybe 2 hours. But I-95 all the way to exit 48, which then merges into I-91, which, again, that takes at least 45 minutes.
And then it's from 95 from 95 to 91, that beats out in New Haven. And from there to Hartford is only 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know that. Like I said, I've done that trip enough to know.
JC, playing English, you want to see us? You better meet us in New York, because we're not driving all the way to Connecticut, my man. It ain't happening, because I'm not driving 4 hours or 4.5 hours to New York.
Ah, whatever.
2.5 hours to Connecticut.
And it's only 4 hours from where you guys are to New York City?
Yes.
Well, it's not what you're saying, that bucket. New York is the nearest city from where we are?
No, he's saying
no,
it's
only
4 hours.
Oh, yeah, it's only 4 hours to New York. But see, I actually kind of believe that that's bogus, because I believe that that trip is primarily because it's, you know, it's taken by one of those bus tours, you know what I mean?
Why?
That, you know, the bus trips, you know, like Greyhound and Big Bus and all that other stuff.
It's 4 hours driving from where we live to New York.
Ah, well, whatever. I think that's bogus. Anyway, I want to get to the healthcare story I was talking about. So, I was talking to my boss today at the job. And I simply said to him, as I have all the time, when are we going to get our health care? Well, he simply looked at me like I was a nut. And I said, yeah, you know, seriously, when are we going to get our health care? And he goes, well, you know, I don't think during any time of your employment I've ever wanted to give you, I mean, like I was ever offering you health care. I said, oh, you weren't. I said, well, you don't know that if you have employees as a small business, you have to provide them with health care or pay a fine. I didn't know that. What do you mean you didn't know that? Just a little while ago, you were applauding Obamacare. You were actually laughing at me that it got passed. I don't know what it is that you're talking about. You don't know this? That if you don't offer your kids health care, you're going to end up having to pay a fine for every kid you don't, for every person you don't cover. So he hadn't known that. So now he's looking it up. Now, I'll be honest with you. I ain't buying no health care from anybody. Because this man cannot stay in the office of the President of the United States. He's got to be gone. But we will get rid of him. November 6th is coming. It's a wrap for you, my friend. Experiment over. And every time I say that, people, I swear, you got to see the voices of black people when I say it. Because they hear it when I say it. That's right, folks. Experiment over. I was like, what are you trying to say? Well, you know, don't you remember? Don't you remember what each and every one of you were saying We've been letting the white man do it for so long. Let's see if a black man can do it better. Experiment over. Because that's the way you were looking at the presidency of the United States. As if it were an experiment. I mean, what's next? Seriously. I mean, who gets the next calling? What real simplistic reasoning are they going to use in order to elect the next president after this election? What's it going to be? We've been having men do it every time. Maybe we should get a woman. All right. What happens when she screws up? Who's next? I'm going to tell you who's next.
Dang.
The next president, what'd you say?
I know who I'm going to write in, but I think you're going to say who I'm going to write in, but I'll let you go ahead and say it.
Okay. It's got to be this way. This is the way it's got to be done. It's got to be a black person first. Then it's got to be a woman. And then next on the social ladder is a Mexican. No, absolutely not. The No, Latinos do not get in before this group.
It's a gay. Homosexual.
What? Wow, you know, it's funny that you would say that, but no, they're definitely on the bottom of that list.
Okay, well, who are you talking about?
Asians.
How the hell
did
Asians come before Latinos?
You think I'm gay? Uh-huh. Because you can ask every person in the country. And think about this, folks. I want you to really think about this. Asians are well accepted. Well accepted.
Ain't nobody letting no damn Asians.
Oh, let me tell you.
China already owns enough of us. They don't really
let me tell you something. Asians are much more socially accepted than Latinos. Asians are the only ones you never hear about them needing anything. They don't need anything. They're very self-reliant. Asians have a rich culture. And they're adored by white folks. And they are literally, I mean, come on. Look at all the karate flicks the Negroes watch. I mean, for crying out loud, the Wu-Tang Clan.
You are one sick dude.
Oh, come on, man. You know I'm telling the truth. Asians come before Latinos. It's got to be black, women, Asian, and then Latino. But this Latino's got to be an exception. Yes, he does. He's got to be an exceptional Negro, an exceptional Latino. He's got to be Bill Richardson Latino. He's got to have a white name. Like, a lot of people don't know this. Bill Richardson's real name. I think it's his middle name, but I think it's his real name. His name is Blaine. Like Blaine, the character from Pretty in Pink, played by Andrew McCarthy. Anybody remember that? Ducky makes that comment. Blaine? His name is Blaine? That's not a name. That's a major appliance. The Bill Richardson Latino. Like a Keith Fernandez Latino. Jimmy Smith Latino. Got a little dose of French in him. Like French Canadian. That kind of Latino. Maybe some Jessica Alba type Latino. Not Eva Mendez, though. Not Eva Mendez. Too Latino. Eva Mendez is a better looking Rosie Perez.
That she is.
That's the cop. If I make myself laugh too hard, all of a sudden I start coughing. JC, let's go to the top of the hour. When we come back, let's talk about Eric Holder. I know it really means nothing. I know all of it's symbolic. Oh, by the way, you can play a music bed as we go into the top of the hour.
Well, I was going to ask you, what block are you using?
What's that?
Which block are you using?
What block? Oh,
yeah,
same one from the top of the hour.
Oh, okay.
So we'll go into that. We'll talk about Eric Holder. I want to talk about this new alert system that's going to be put on every cell phone. It's scary. In fact, we'll talk about that when we come back at the to the radio. You are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reason on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reason on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com. James, you're on the air.
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code 211 means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney,
we're not doing top of the hour.
Doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
How may I help you, my brother? I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could. Damn it, man. I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened? They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
Thank you.
Reese on the radio. We are live on I-95. We're about to approach Baltimore, or so I believe.
Oh, okay.
We are. Yeah, so we're actually making good time coming from
okay,
the D.C.
So
area.
Well, could you stop and get me some blue crabs?
Get you some what?
Some blue soft shell crabs.
Oh, some crabs. You know, it's funny you should say that because I was just having a conversation the other day talking about how much of a big fan I am of crabs. But I don't really tell a lot of people that I'm a big crab fan, and I don't eat it often enough. But I really, really love crabs. I mean, I just got this thing that just, if you make it right, I'll eat me some real, real, like, ghetto crab. You know, when they put Lowry seasoned salt on it.
Not Lowry seasoned salt. Lowry.
It's Old Bay.
Lowry seasoned salt. Old Bay.
It's Old Bay.
Every time I taste it, I always think that is Lowry seasoned salt.
Please pass the butter.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I didn't know what it was. I've never made it in my life, so I wouldn't know.
You know
what I got in the freezer right now?
You know what else is good with Old Bay seasoning? Oodles of noodles.
Oh, really?
Yes. Throw an egg in that joker, in the oodles of noodles, and some Old Bay seasoning. You got your ghetto meal and two.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. I'm not very familiar with a lot of ghetto meals. What were you saying, JT?
Yeah, you tell Mary you can take oodles and noodles and throw ketchup on it and call it spaghetto.
Why is that?
Throw ketchup on it?
And call it spaghetto while she's at it.
Oh, spaghetto. He said oodles and noodles, you can throw ketchup on it and call it spaghetto. That's actually pretty funny.
That is funny. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, actually, it's funny you mentioned ketchup. You know, the only thing I put ketchup on are hot dogs and hamburgers. I won't put it on anything else.
You eat it on french fries.
Actually, did you ever notice that? I don't eat it a lot on french fries.
But I've seen you.
I'm sure you've seen me do it, but I don't do it a lot.
But I'll say that's the only thing.
Okay, so there are three things that I'll use them for. I know people put ketchup in anything, and they think that's okay.
But I put ketchup on eggs.
No, why?
Yeah, that's how my daughter is. My daughter eats pizza crust with ketchup.
Ew. Oh, that's just awful.
Yeah.
Ew. That's just awful. I don't even know exactly how to respond.
We're in Baltimore.
Okay, approaching Baltimore. Reese on the radio is live on 95. Yeah. Okay, so, all right, I heard this story today, and it was brief because I didn't exactly know how to respond to this, and that's often happens to me when there is like an extreme overreach, because I thought about it and I said, okay, sometimes this is, you know, this can be good, other ways this can be bad. But did you hear the story in the news today that said that now the government will be supplying every cell phone in the country? You have an account, no matter what, you will be getting a text message of severe weather in your area based on region. You will get an alert directly from the government. They are also going to use this service to send you Amber Alerts directly if, and this is the one that really, really got me, if there is an emergency warning from the President of the United States, you will get that warning on your text message. So the government can just pretty much just text you on your phone and give you extreme weather, whatever it is, they can just contact you. Just like that. Does that seem like an overreach by the government? Or would you, because there are several problems that I have with this. Extreme weather, I think that's bogus. Because we are so overwhelmed by the weather. People wake up and that's the first thing they look for, is what the weather is.
Well, but that's because you want to know how to dress. You want to know whether you need an umbrella.
Right.
You want to know what the driving conditions are going to be. Plus, it's the first thing that you
and in the event of tornadoes.
Say again?
In the event of a tornado.
Look, the point is that you don't need weather updates from the government. You get them on your own. Everything we do is about the weather. It's the first question everyone asks. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? What's it going to be like tomorrow? Oh, man, it's going to be cold tomorrow. Damn, you know how hot it's going to be tomorrow? That's what everybody does.
Yeah, but Reese.
Yes.
Think about it. I can see from places like Arkansas, Kansas, so on and so forth, where they have tornado alarm systems. They usually come off of the fire department.
Okay,
but
I agree
don't,
with that.
You don't have that in New York City.
I agree with that 100%, JC. I agree with that. They don't have that 24/7. But hold on. If you live in Tornado Alley, right? If you live in Tornado Alley.
If you live, they have sirens. Okay. If you live in a tornado prone area,
you have a lock system.
They have sirens
right.
Go off that will make you think you are under attack by Russia.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They have alert systems. So the bottom line is, if you live in Tornado Alley, it's not because you get extreme heat in that region. It's because tornadoes run through that bitch as often as regular weather does. I mean, some areas get 18 in a day. So
yeah, but
they don't need that. I don't see that. Now, hold on. Here's what I have a problem with the second thing, with this new alert system that the government's going to be implementing on every phone. The Amber Alert thing. Now, look, I know that if a child is missing, that's important and that's relevant. But the one problem I have is that if you're on the highway or if you're driving somewhere and you get an Amber Alert on your phone that there's a child missing in a Dodge Caravan on, I-88, I don't want Super Sleuth Mrs. Crabtree looking around for the car. I don't know if I see him. I don't know if I see him. And she's running around trying to find this little child. You know, there are people out there do that. My ex-wife was a perfect example of this. I got to tell you this story. This is why I know it's true. My ex-wife used to watch the popular TV series called Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. Remember that show?
Robert Stack, yeah.
Robert Stack, the Unsolved Mystery. And he'd come in with the light-colored, trench coat. Talking about Sylvia Johnson. She was, whatever. She watched this show religiously. So I remember one day in our apartment, very small apartment, I asked her, sweetheart, why do you watch this show? Why are you so fascinated about these missing person things? So she says to me, and I quote, because I really think that I'm going to see one of these people on the street.
Did she collect milk cartons?
she swore. This was college-educated, went to NYU woman, watched that show religiously on Wednesday nights, and said, I really think I'm going to see one of those people that they're looking for.
Common sense isn't so common.
Yeah. Believed it to this day. That she was going to find them. So Amber Alerts in the wrong hands can be devastating. Because
at the wrong time.
At the wrong time. Here's another example as to why I don't like it. When my son Caleb and I were together, I think we were going to the park. I was taking him to Washington Square Park. He was less than 2 years old. Now, I'll admit, I am a caramel-skinned African-American, stand 6'5", rather skinny. Caleb, at the time he was two, still very white.
And just a chunky monkey.
Big curly blonde hair. He had a nappy fro.
And bright blue eyes.
Beautiful blue eyes. So I'm walking with Caleb in his stroller, and I see this very attractive Latina girl walking behind it. And she's looking at Caleb. Caleb's looking at her. He's cracking a smile. She's smiling back at him. Okay, I'll admit, I thought, babies and dogs, they can be real chick magnets. So she's checking them out. She's really giving them a look, and she's looking at me. I'm smiling at her. I'm like, oh, all right. Yes, it is. It's my son, Caleb.
Did she say, is he adopted?
No. But she does say this. She goes, oh, I just didn't see a resemblance. I was wondering. I just had to make sure. I just wanted to make sure that it maybe wasn't kidnapped.
No, she didn't.
I swear to God.
No, she didn't.
I looked at her right in the face and said, excuse me? She goes, you know, he's light, you're dark. I swear to God. Swear
she had the balls to say to you. She had the balls to say to you, I want to make sure that he wasn't kidnapped.
She used the word kidnapped, Mary. She used the word. That's the part that struck me down. Anyway, you know, she could have even just played it off. Is that your son? Yes. What's his name? Caleb. Hi, I'm Reese. Nice to meet you. Oh, we live down the block over here. You know?
Oh, we're about to go in the tunnel.
My ex-wife, Jeannie. You know, such and such and such. I could have said anything. But the point is that the broad just came out of us, caller. That's what I mean, too. But the broad just came out and just said, you have to forgive me. You know, you guys don't look alike. I was just making sure that he wasn't kidnapped. Just came right out and said it. I'll never forget that. So that's the second problem I have with this whole government telling you, you know, what Amber Alert, you know, to look out for kids. I think this makes nosy people, although, look, if you see something, say something. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But, you can't be putting that kind of power in people's hands. That's why I think it's ridiculous. Now, the last thing about terror, and that's generally what this is about. The President of the United States being in a position to text you about something important, a national security event, is going to send you a text. Now, look, folks, if a bomb goes off, if a plane flies into another building, God forbid, if a nuke goes off, I don't want no goddamn text about it.
Well, but here's the thing. Okay, so when we just had that earthquake?
Yeah.
Okay.
We all felt it.
Everybody was on their phone. You couldn't get to anybody. Service was shut down. So how do you think in a national emergency your stupid ass text messages can't get to anybody, you moron?
That's exactly the point I was going to bring up. Because something as simple as an earthquake, nobody's harmed, minimal damage, phone systems completely crashed.
And people are freaked out.
Same thing happened on 9/11, folks. If you remember that.
Couldn't get to anybody.
And they didn't have those. I don't know if they have enough sense to even think that was, especially with 9/11, the cell phone towers were on top of the towers.
Yeah, exactly.
So they didn't work anyways.
Nothing worked. Nothing worked. It was a cell phone nightmare. People had to call from landlines. They couldn't even get through that way. So this is all fruitless, and they're going to spend freaking millions of dollars doing it. And they're talking about
for that reason.
Yeah, but this is going to be on every cell phone company for every plan. It doesn't matter whether or not you got an Obama phone or you got Verizon Wireless. It's going on every phone. But here's the other part. You can opt out. You can opt out of it. I think this is going to be a sweeping failure. And when we find out, at the end of it, we're going to find out that they spent millions, if not billions of dollars on a program nobody wants. And nobody wants. Why would I need this service?
What is Obama, the administration, going to call this one? Operation LOL?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what I'll do every time I get a text from him.
It's Operation SOS.
Yeah, there is Operation SOS. It's pathetic that they're actually thinking about doing this. And you got the option to opt out. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm just completely mortified that somebody would decide to do this.
Listen, even in Connecticut, when the 9/11 tragedy went down, our cell phones and our landlines didn't work.
Really? Yes, because it was, no one. I was right here in D.C. by Pentagon, but ours didn't work either. No landlines, no anything, because there was an overload. That was like New York City when there was an overload and there was a blackout with electricity.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The same thing happens to phones.
Oh, yeah.
So how the hell you can send out a mass text message to every single body and shut everyone's phones down for a damn Amber Alert?
I'll tell you the one thing that absolutely ticked me off. You guys remember the blackout of 2003? It happened on my birthday, by the way.
Where?
August 14, 2003. It went all the way up. It went from New York all the way up to Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And some parts of Canada. It was a Canadian thing that a Canadian grid that went down. So that happened the day of my birthday, 2003, on August 14th. I'll never forget the thing that pissed me off the most was that we couldn't use, I didn't have a cell phone at the time. I had not gotten a cell phone until the next year. And we had our home phone. The only thing that was working were telephones. It was the only thing that you could do. So what happens?
If you had a telephone that did not require electricity.
That's exactly what my point was. I had a what's the name?
A wireless phone.
Yeah, a wireless phone that uses electricity that you have to plug in. And, of course, no electricity, so I couldn't even use the phone. So I was completely tapped out. Completely tapped out. And another part that bothers me is, what about people who don't have a cell phone? Because there are plenty of people out there who don't.
Well, don't worry about that anymore. They'll have cell phones soon. You can get a cell phone. Obama got cell phones for people, giving them away for free.
Yeah, I'm really, really bothered by that.
Jobs got Obama cell phones.
You know who?
People that have jobs that have Obama cell phones just because they can.
I can't get one.
Say again?
I can't get one.
Why do you want one? And what kind of phone can you... I heard you can get state-of-the-art phones with this thing.
Well, they're free.
No, they're not free, JC.
Yeah, definitely. They're only free to the person who gets the phone.
Exactly.
They're not free to everybody else. Everybody else.
I mean, I pay my taxes. I feel as though I deserve one.
Well, I kind of agree with that one. I mean, if you pay taxes, why not get a phone? I mean, I can sort of agree with you there.
Well, they're doing away with landlines altogether. They're doing away with the landlines because now if you get a landline through the cable company, it has to go through a modem, which requires electricity.
Yeah, exactly.
And AT&T requires you to go through the modem as well for a phone, which requires electricity.
That's a complete joke. Yeah, but now it's the cell phone age anyway. I mean, another great story that I'll never forget. In 2008, I'm doing this this charity event called the Scooper Bowl in Boston. And at the Scooper Bowl, we had our own WRKO tent, and we were giving away, I guess, this great opportunity for you to win Red Sox tickets at like Legends Day or something. And it was a great, great event. I was standing in there and I was scooping ice cream for charity and people were taking pictures of me. You know, I was in the newspapers and all that stuff. It's a great event. So I get over to the booth, to my booth, and I'm signing out. I'm letting people sign this raffle to win the Red Sox tickets. And on the raffle, this young kid had to be roughly about 20 years old, comes up to fill out a raffle, and he reads the pamphlet, you know, to make himself eligible. And he sits up, and he looks me right in my face, and he goes, "What's a daytime number?" And I looked at him, and I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, what's a daytime number?" I said, "You don't know what a daytime number is?" So I tried to explain it to him. A daytime telephone number is your home phone number.
Or a work phone number.
No, no, no.
Have a job.
Because there was a line for your work number.
Oh.
So it said daytime phone number, work phone number, and then cell phone number. He had never heard the term daytime phone number. So
I remember that conversation.
Said, you do remember this, JC. I know you did.
Yeah.
And I had him on the show the next day. because he could not understand what the daytime phone number meant. And I said, back in the day, when you would talk, when you go to the bank or you go to some service or whatever it was, and you gave them your information, they asked you, do you work? No, I do not. What's your daytime phone number? Meaning, where can they reach you at the home? Your work phone number is obviously your work phone number, but your daytime phone number means usually there was a bitch in the house. And they would call up the house and speak to the broad in the house before all of you started working. And that is my friend, the daytime phone number. But now they're getting rid of that. Now everything says cell phone. They don't even ask me for a home number anymore.
Because most people don't have one.
They'll ask you for a phone, and they'll ask you the best time to reach you.
Most of the time, people only have home phones when they have home security systems, because the home security system is run through the home phone.
The only people who have home phone numbers
are senior citizens.
No, people that have a home security system. It's run through the home phone.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. I just
said that.
Okay, great. You just said it. I just said I didn't know it.
So don't rob anybody's house that gives you a home phone number.
Yeah, okay, right. But my point is that nobody does it anymore. There's not enough people doing home phone numbers anymore. And nowadays, you may think that a home phone number maybe attached to your security system, but nowadays, can't everything be hooked up digitally now?
I think that they are coming out now with a way to attach all that to your cell phone.
Come on, did you say
it costs more money to have a home phone than it does to have a cell phone? And I guess that's because the demand is not as high anymore.
Always consider this final fact. Watch that TV show called Shark Tank. And there's that guy that we saw who has the new digital key. When you walk up with your smartphone, and you press a button on your smartphone, it unlocks your home door.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And all that's going to change. Anyway, we'll take a break. It's Rich on the Radio. We're live on I-95. We'll talk about Eric Holder when we get back. Stick around. It's Rich on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we get in. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
See if you can get him on the phone.
Sounds like I'm going to win.
All right, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio. We're live on
I-95. Daddy,
I can't. Mary is about to go through a toll booth.
But I need to see what you cash can you offer.
I can't see either. She wants to know we're going through a toll booth. We are leaving the Baltimore area. And we're at the cash lane now. How much is this toll?
$3.
$3 toll at the Baltimore. Is this the Baltimore toll? Okay, the Baltimore toll. So we have reached Baltimore. We are leaving Baltimore.
Yeah, thank God, because we've only been sitting in it for a half an hour in traffic.
Absolutely. And Mary cannot deal with that at all.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, tell people why I can't deal with it. Because I sit in traffic to go to work, and then I sit in traffic to come home. So I spend 3 hours a day in the car as it is. I sure tell them I want to have to spend another half an hour waiting to get through a freaking tunnel to go 5 miles. I'm in rare form.
You are, hey, look, you know, I'm glad that you're doing it on the air. Hey, I'm surprised that I haven't heard from our good friend Mike in Florida or Edward in Connecticut, even Nefertiti. Hey, for crying out loud, where the hell is Derek the Bounty Hunter? While I'm on my trip to New York, talking live on Reese on the Radio, live on I-95. We just paid our $3 and we're driving through now. Oh, traffic looks a little better on this side.
So Mike called in for a hot second, but then he hung up. We didn't get a chance to get to him.
Oh, did he call in for a second? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if they do call in, just let me know. I was expecting them to be calling us. Anyway, nonetheless, I cannot deal with this not being able to see garbage. But anyway, so Eric Holder. Eric freaking Holder. Contempt vote in the House. A whopping 200, what was it, 263 to 67, 265? 19,000 to fall? What?
We had to give something to the people today.
The people needed something today. And he got held in contempt, and I hear he's going to Disney World. He don't care. There's nothing. Look, we know. If there's anything we know about this contempt vote, is that there's nothing that can be done about it. If he's charged with the crime, it'll never see the light of day. But most of this is symbolic. And the faith, any good faith that anyone would have in an attorney general, it somewhat weighed at this particular point that he would be held in contempt because he refuses to hand over documents that he knew he lied about and about information that he knew he lied about. And the fact that there were members of Congress who had the nerve, the audacity in a vote to get up and walk out. Get up and walk out. In sheer disrespect, and clearly do not understand or care what this is about. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney couldn't remember Brian Terry's name. He had to be reminded by a reporter. Doesn't care. Didn't care. Clearly didn't care. I don't care what this is about. I don't care who got killed. You're not getting the documents. Just shut the F up and keep it moving. So what? People die. What else you got for me, Jay? He didn't care. Nancy Pelosi. There seemed to be anger at this contempt vote of Eric Holder. Angered at this contempt vote. But then gets on the podium and calls him Brian Tay. Couldn't even remember his name. Now, if there's any way that you want to disrespect this Border Patrol agent, that's a sure way to show you don't give a damn. This is about Eric Holder to you, and it's never been about Eric Holder. It's never been about the President of the United States. It's about 300 dead Mexicans. It's about two agents shot and killed. And that's it. And everything they keep saying is, we stopped the program. Come on, man. Let it go. We stopped it. We stopped doing it. That's exactly what it is that they're telling the American people. We stopped it. Look, man, should he really be held in contempt? He put an end to it. Yes, but we want to know why it was implemented. Now, we had on Robert Mazur, the author of the book, what was it, Infiltrated? I think it was Infiltrated. I don't have the information in front of me, but look him up, Robert Mazur. He talks about how he, you know, his life as a DEA agent and how he infiltrated the banks, the corrupt banks, in the Pablo Escobar Medellin cartel? She refused to admit, as far as I'm concerned, she refused to admit that this was a gun-running operation to change the hearts and minds of the American people about the assault weapon ban. And he won't make that connection. Says it's too conspiracy theory for him. You can listen to that show. Of course, just go to the archives of Reese on the Radio and you can listen to that show. But says it was to him, it was too conspiratory, too much of a conspiracy theory for him to make that leap. He believes that Kennedy was shot from the grassy knoll. But he doesn't believe that Eric Holder would allow some 2,000 guns to walk with no tracking device, with no intent to arrest anybody, known felons, go over, nobody's arrested, nobody's stopped, people are let out the back door when they are arrested. It's absolutely insane. And he doesn't believe, can't come to that conclusion. Baffles the crap out of me.
Hey, guess who got on the line with us?
Who's on the line?
Hey, man, it's Mike.
Hey, Mike!
You know, I listened to the Mr. Mazur when he called in, and it does strike me as a little odd that he's not willing to accept any conspiracy theory at all, or even to call them conspiracy theory, when he worked for an agency that was worked against directly by the government itself. It's not conspiracy theory to say that the CIA smuggles drugs, because we know the CIA smuggles drugs.
Yeah, but you know what, Mike? Although I think that's a great question, you know, I would have to ask, okay, fine, all right. He made pretty much the assertion, I mean, I guess in his job was, okay, yes, we smuggle drugs into the country for the purpose of catching these drug cartels. They're still letting the stuff in. They're still letting it get to, you know, the operation is running. And then, you know, then a couple of years down the road after they've infiltrated them, they then arrest that group. I get that.
Yeah.
But
it's not,
the bottom line,
it's not them. It's not the DEA that's smuggling these drugs in. It's the CIA that's smuggling it in without the knowledge of the DEA.
Well, why? Okay, you clearly have a point of view about that whole thing as far as the CIA. What would the CIA be bringing drugs into these poor communities for? What's your assessment?
Money.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you look at the Freeway Ricky Ross deal, that was directly tied to Iran-Contra. That's where the CIA was getting their money to pay for arms for the Contras. We know it. I mean, there's an L.A. police officer, Michael Rupert, who, if you Google his name, you can see video of him confronting CIA Director Deutsch at a meeting in South Central addressing these very issues, where Mr. Rupert says, you know, I arrested some CIA agents who tried to recruit me. I have paperwork about your secret operation. And Deutsch just said, well, we're going to handle this. So the CIA themselves internally investigated the whole thing. And surprisingly, they found nothing, but because they investigated themselves.
Well, yeah, I'm well aware of that, you know, that whole thing. And, of course, which brings us, of course, right to the whole Eric Holder thing, is just that who's going to trust you when you're just going to investigate yourselves? We know you're going to come up clean every time.
You know, Reese, you've seen video of, you know, when we bust, you know, Mexican narco kingpins, you know, they always have these fancy mansions, and they have gold-plated AKs, and they have bulletproof limos and all this stuff, right? So these guys are making huge money. The cocaine and marijuana market coming out of Central and South America and Mexico pales in comparison to the heroin that's coming out of Afghanistan, right? There's last number where there's something like 16 tons a year of opium are being produced in Afghanistan, right, which is up dramatically from when the Taliban took over. Have you seen how Afghan drug lords live?
Oh, yes,
they
I have. In fact,
they don't live like that, do they?
No, they don't.
They don't live like
so
what?
They don't
money.
Live with the gold AK-47 and stuff like that.
Yeah, Mr. Mazur made the assertion that, well, you know, they're just the evil terrorists and they're spending all that money to fight us, right? But I've seen the way Al-Qaeda's armed. Al-Qaeda doesn't have drones and high-end North Korean weaponry. They have ratty AKs and British Enfield rifles. So that's obviously bullshit. I know where the money's going.
Rocks.
Everybody knows where the money's going. It's going into black operations to pay for the CIA's budget. But if you say that, you're a wacko. But you can't tell me where the money's going.
Hold on for a quick second, guys. I have to interrupt the show. It's Reese on the Radio, live on I-95. Mary is... what was the speed limit you were doing just a little while ago?
I'm 65.
Are you sure of that?
Yes. I don't know if they were taking a picture of me or the moron in front of us that are doing 100.
Oh, okay.
That came around us and was doing 100. But all we know is that we're driving, I'm doing 65, and all of a sudden, some big and bright ass light goes off, some snap off photo. So, hello, Marilyn.
Yeah, now hold on. Now, I've heard this before.
I've never heard that they were on the highway.
Sure, the speed limit is now actually being monitored by drones.
No.
You didn't know that?
Where are they?
But it says, watch the signs, they'll tell you.
No, it says being watched by radar.
No.
By aircraft.
That's right. The aircraft are drones. No.
Drones.
Drones are here. They're in the Baltimore area. They brought them into Maryland. They brought them into Virginia. They're bringing them into D.C. They're using them in Chicago right now. They used them in Chicago for the G8. Or the G20, right? It was the G20 summit.
Yeah,
the G20 summit in Chicago, use them then.
Yeah, hey,
they're all over here. They're using them right now in California. They're using them in Arizona.
What?
Drones are everywhere.
Right here in Connecticut as well.
They caught them in Miami during Urban Week, too.
That's right. They used them in Miami recently as well.
Okay, this government is out of freaking control.
Well, listen, guys. Edwin from Connecticut has joined us.
Hey! All right, I knew they were listening out there. What's up, Edward?
Hey, how you doing, Reese?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually driving in the car with Mary, risking my life at the moment.
You're going to pay the ticket.
I'm going to pay the ticket. Let's just hope at the end of this week we can call it.
We lost Reese. We may have lost Reese.
No, I think the signal's probably low of what's going on.
Okay. It got awfully quiet.
he lost the signal, but he'll be back in 1 second. But, yeah, so other than that, guys, what's going on with you?
Well, now that I spewed what I know, I'm fully expecting for the black helicopters to show up and take me away, you know what I mean? You just know, if you ever get a report that I killed myself, I didn't kill myself. I would never kill myself.
Not with two gunshots to the head.
Or not going to hang myself like the DC Madam. Remember that one?
Right. Now, Edward.
I don't think if they've got you yet, Mike, that they're going to come after you.
One never knows, man.
So, Edward, yeah. What's going on your side of the state?
Oh, I'm in New York today, actually.
Oh, you're in New York?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, I'm back.
Oh, you're back?
Yeah.
Don't interrupt our conversation next time.
Say again?
Don't interrupt our conversation next time.
Don't interrupt
it. Oh, I apologize. You guys, no. You guys continue your conversation.
No. We're just doing nothing. We're talking about nothing.
I want to get back to... Okay, I needed to go back into what Mike was talking about and talking about Robert Mazur. You believe that he wouldn't have wanted to talk about the CIA and about their involvement in drug trafficking
If I know it, shouldn't he know it?
I mean, come on. I can go back into the FBI and the CIA. One hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing. I can make that argument.
He has access to Wikipedia, does he not, and the damn internet. I mean, it's not unknown. I mean, and we know the CIA was smuggling heroin to support Chiang Kai-shek, so it's not a new thing.
I think he was trying to basically stick with things that which he knew by firsthand information.
Yeah, I mean, look, he knows that. I mean, at least he was willing to step up and admit that the federal government was indeed letting drugs walk into the country.
I mean, look at how many decades we supported Noriega. Yeah, and Noriega was basically a narco-terrorist. That he was our boy until it was inconvenient for him to be our boy.
Well, you know what? Look, a lot of people make that argument about Noriega. Let me say this, okay? I don't have a problem with implementing a government. We did it with Mubarak. We did it with Gaddafi. Gaddafi did that on his own. But we did it with Mubarak. Yes, we did it with Noriega. In Panama. We've even done it with Iraq, with Saddam Hussein, for crying out loud.
But there's a difference. The difference with Noriega is you're going to put people in this country who use the product that he supplied in jail for the rest of their lives, but you're not going to put him in jail.
But also, what you've got to understand what that is that the criminal justice system, especially in this, and you heard what Robert Mazur said, when that guy came up to him in the courtroom where the two guys had, what was it, two handfuls of crack and they got life in prison for crying out loud?
Mm-hmm.
It said, you know, because the cop said, you know, you should be doing this and shooting fish in a barrel. They know exactly what this deal is. The system is really set up that way to ensure that these guys have careers. And if you don't have the drugs in this country, you don't have the reason to be paying these ridiculous salaries for detectives, police, any one of them.
Well, it's not just them. It's the fact that we've privatized so much of the correctional system that jail is a moneymaker.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean my county jail is run by Correctional Corporation of America. They put my little brother in jail overnight for possession of one joint, dude. One joint. He went to jail overnight. So the taxpayer had to pay to book him and pay for him to eat overnight. One joint.
My driver's license got suspended for 6 months for possession of a quarter of a blunt. And I wasn't even in my car. I was in my house.
Really?
I was in my house.
I didn't know you had to leave.
They came to my apartment looking for someone else, and they knocked on my door, but they smelled the weed coming out from underneath the door. They suspended my license for 6 months.
And how much money did it cost you to go through the system? Yeah, it cost you a ton, right?
Over $1,000.
Yeah. Now multiply that by how many people they bust for that.
And I paid a lawyer. I got a lawyer and paid a lawyer. And still, my license got suspended for 6 months thanks to Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, you can blame Ronald Reagan if you want to, but let me ask you this. Considering your own little marijuana tirade, whatever it was, here's my question. Did the lawyer get you off?
No. I had to have my license suspended for 6 months. I had to do like 25 hours of
community
service at a homeless shelter. Plus, I had to check in. The probation people, I got like this first offender thing, so, you know, if you don't get in any trouble and within the 6 months.
How old were you?
That's irrelevant.
Okay.
So I don't have a record. There's no record. I was never convicted of anything. But my license was suspended. I had to get a restricted license to get back and forth to work and to college. So my school lady said, no, I don't think that you have a problem. I just think that, you know, it was unfortunate what happened. So you're fine. You don't have to piss. Oh, excuse
Thanks.
Me. I'm sorry. You don't have to take a pee test, but you do have to call and check in on this thing that they called RoboCuff.
RoboCuff.
Hey, can I give you some advice, Mary, to save yourself that trouble next time?
Uh-huh.
Don't use blunts, buy a vaporizer.
Nice.
Yeah, that's actually pretty wise advice, Mike.
Do you know that made me stop smoking weed? Because I was so paranoid from that moment on that I could never smoke it again.
Well, I would say...
Yeah, I would imagine it would stack the paranoia on.
I would say the system works.
I was in Virginia. Now, listen to this. I tried one time. I was like, you know what? I need to smoke a joint. So, well, blunt. So I'm like, I tried one time. I go in my bathroom, right, which is in the back of the apartment. You can't smell anything coming out of the door in the living room. So I go into the back of the apartment, and I crack the window open, and I'm smoking, and this guy rides by. I'm on the second floor. This guy rides by on a bike. And he must have smelled the weed because he stops his bike and he looks up at my window and he's like, God damn, somebody's getting twisted. I was like, oh my God, I almost shit myself.
Thanks, honey. I don't know where this is, but was this in Alexandria?
No, it was in Virginia. It was in Fredericksburg.
Fredericksburg? Oh,
I just want to say that.
Go ahead, Edward.
I just want to say, if that was the last time that Mary smoked weed, then the system worked. It did what it was supposed to do. It stopped her from smoking weed.
But she sits in studio and drinks cocktails. So it didn't
scare
her straight. It just kicked her onto a worse substance.
Legal substance, though.
Oh, legal.
Wait, the one that can kill you. Mike
is
suggesting that alcohol is a worse substance than marijuana.
Well, let me tell you what, man.
It is, but it's also legal.
I could put Snoop in a warehouse with 5 tons of weed, a box of lighters, and a bong, and he ain't going to do anything but get high and fall asleep. But if you put somebody down with a handle of Jack Daniels and a stopwatch and say, drink it, they're going to die.
Yeah, okay. You're probably right about that. I understand. I know. It's a little backwards. I didn't know, Mike, and I'm completely baffled. You are a conspiracy theorist. Are you a libertarian?
I totally am a libertarian. I am fiscally conservative and socially liberal. I think we should legalize marijuana and prostitution. We should let gay dudes whatever the hell they want, and let me own a machine gun.
Let me what?
What was the last
let
one?
Let me own a machine gun if I want one.
Let you own a machine gun, legalize prostitution and drugs.
Yep.
No, just
all
marijuana.
Drugs.
All drugs or just marijuana?
All drugs. Because it's not stopping anybody anyway. And if you legalized all drugs, you would cut the knees out from under all the cartels and the narco-terrorists. You wouldn't have the problem because shit would be cheap.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know what the biggest problem we have here? The biggest drug problem in this part of Florida is OxyContin.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
OxyContin is killing people like crazy here.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, that's
that
our
comes
show,
from
guys. Thanks you guys for joining us. Thank you, Edward. Thank you, Mike in Florida. We have finally reached a rest stop. Well, Mary
no
will take off her contact lenses.
No tailgating.
Yes, no, she's doing fine. No tailgating. She hasn't screamed at anybody, but she's going to work on her contacts. If we appear to be fine, we're at a local Exxon, so we're going to get the heck up out of here. I will let everybody know on ReeseOnTheRadio.com what the turnout is on our court case tomorrow morning and see how long we are in there.
Well, good luck on that, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, guys. I will let you all know what's going on, and we will see you on Monday. No show tomorrow, but definitely check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com for all the details. I love you. I always will, and we're out.